A reminder, this hour of this morning's With Ed show is brought to you by WealthWise Financial Services. It's Wealth Management Redefined. And as we do each and every Wednesday morning, we welcome the award-winning president and CEO of WealthWise Financial Services, Laureen Gilbert, in to speak with us. Good morning, Laureen.
Good morning, Ed. Good to be here.
It's great to have you in this morning. Welcome in on a beautiful, beautiful day today.
Yes, it is beautiful.
So many things to talk about, but I want to start with a word that you said just moments ago that actually kind of shocked me a little because I hadn't heard it in some time. Stagflation and the dangers of us getting into a stagflation. Tell us, first of all, what it is and what the danger is.
Right. So we have been in a recovery mode, Ed, since the worst part of the pandemic. Economically, we've been in a recovery. Right now, we're at a juncture where the Federal Reserve, just after we spoke last Wednesday, announced their rate increase of 25 basis points. And so what happens is as the Federal Reserve is raising rates, two things happen. Growth will necessarily slow down, and inflation will also start to come down. So we know we need inflation to come down, and the tricky part is to not crimp growth so much that we go into a situation of a recession. Now, the other part of the story, stagflation, is if you have stagnant growth, but you still have higher levels of inflation. And that's a dangerous situation. That's not a good situation. It makes it tougher for the Federal Reserve to do what they do. And so, you know, certainly that is a potential risk. Now, the Federal Reserve last week when they spoke, they were very optimistic. It was this Goldilocks scenario that they said, oh, we can continue to raise rates 7 times at 25 basis points, and we still think that our GDP will be 2.8%. So that is a very rosy picture, to be honest. And the question is, will it actually play out that way, or what other risks are there, such as stagflation or recession? And so just things to watch as we go down this path, something that investors should be keenly aware of.
Okay, so if I'm an investor right now, I'm right now, there's uncertainty in my head.
There is a lot of uncertainty. There is quite a bit of uncertainty. And it's interesting that right now we're seeing cash holdings spiked to 5.9%, and that's by money managers, the highest since April of 2020. And so what that tells you is that the money managers are also considering the risks ahead and holding a little bit more cash than they normally would, anticipating this volatility that we are expecting to continue to see.
What is a soft landing? I understand that the Fed is trying to, a soft landing.
Right. A soft landing versus a hard landing. Soft landing means they can raise those rates and growth will slow down slowly, but not all of a sudden throw us into a recession. Hard landing means, boom, you're thrown into a recession.
It really is. It really is walking a tightrope, as you explained.
It is such a tightrope. They have a very tough job ahead of them, and the problem is the Federal Reserve has a history of getting it wrong. I mean, just the bottom line. They have a history, unfortunately, of getting it wrong. And in this case, they've already admitted that they should have started this sooner. Right. They were trying to do the right thing by waiting. Now they admit, hey, we should have started sooner. The other mistake they tend to make is then when they start raising rates too fast. And just Powell this week announced when he was asked the question, you know, is 50 basis points off the table for future rate hikes? He said, absolutely not.
Right.
50 basis points is definitely a possibility. So We'll just have to watch and see what happens here.
Okay. When you mention always getting it wrong, it sounds like my NC2A March Madness picks. I'm always getting it wrong. I swear.
Oh, no.
So lately, I'm reading that the United States is the latest to signal an urgency in researching a potential digital version of our dollar via a central bank digital currency. What would that look like? What are the potential benefits and risks of something like that?
Right. So you labeled it right. It's the CBDC, Central Bank Digital Currency. The United States, China, many nations are looking at it. And the reason is there's the pressure because cryptocurrency is taking part of the pie of the money that's out there, right? And the problem with crypto is it's not regulated. And so it's this fight between private and public issuance of, in a sense, currency, even though Bitcoin's not literally a currency, but it's a way that people transact. And so what the U.S. wants to do is to regulate it. So, you know, on the pros of the U.S. having a digital currency is that it serves the underbanked. So when we're talking about equity for people around the United States and access to financial institutions and making it easier for people who are underbanked, that's definitely a pro. And by the way, that's a pro all over the world. When we look at developing nations, it certainly is a pro for them as well. The con is privacy. So when you have the central bank involved, you don't have the same kind of privacy as well. So, you know, there's definitely, but where I come down on it, it's absolutely necessary for the central banks to establish their digital currencies and to maintain control. Because at the end of the day, we don't want the dollar to be devalued in any way, and it stands to be undermining our own dollar if the cryptos in fact take over.
Excellent. Thank you for the clarity. I was unclear until just now. Thank you for that. I appreciate that.
Sure.
So what we're seeing, of course, since the sanctions on Russian oil is prices have spiked, yet they remained at a point about $100, a little over $100 per barrel for oil. Yet, of course, we're seeing here in the United States gas prices continuing to go up and stuff. Some people are considering a windfall profit tax on oil companies. Tell us about that. Maybe the pros and cons of that as well.
Right. Well, I know everybody is feeling the pain at the pump, and it is real. I mean, I just drove by a gas station and was shocked to see $6.39 a gallon.
And you thought to yourself, I'm so lucky I have an electric vehicle.
I am so lucky I have an electric vehicle, although my car's in the shop and I'm driving a rental car. So I'm also feeling, at least temporarily, the pain at the pump.
It's a Ford F-350. She's got the biggest engine.
Yeah, but I understand people's concern about what is going on. The reality is the companies have to take into consideration supply. And if they don't have the same amount of supply, it is going to translate into the pump. And yes, I've heard about this idea of a windfall tax. I'm not in favor of it because ultimately we live in a capitalistic environment. Now, we do have to make sure where the government maintains oversight is on regulations and on making sure that monopolies don't cut out competition. And as long as there is a competitive nature to it, at the end of the day, things will settle out based on price of oil. And so there's always a lag. So we saw a huge shoot up in the price of oil. It's now come down. And if that maintains, we will start to see gas prices also go down.
Okay. Okay. Some people argue, though, that the gouging is going to happen regardless. But finish that sentence for me.
You know, but people, you know, back to, you know, people might want to consider how they can avoid those, what we were just talking about, right. You know, looking at alternatives. And the good news about electric vehicles is that it's the prices for electric vehicles are also coming down. I mean, it used to be only those people who had the means, quite a bit of means to go buy a Tesla. Could have an electric vehicle. And the good news is, look, Ford is coming out with theirs. Every manufacturer, you see commercials every day for U.S. manufacturers coming out with electric vehicles. In 10 years from now, it will be the standard. Right now, we're in that transition time. And ultimately, you know, I think what the government can do, I would rather see this idea of stopping any kind of gas tax that would help us, right, even in the state of California or federally, to help people at the pump.
Okay. Thank you for that. The Fed, back in January, warned specifically of potential cybersecurity risks, and again earlier this week, knowing that that might be one of the things that Russia does, targeting companies here in the United States. Do you feel that we're well enough protected?
Well, a couple of points on that. Every business owner, and you know, I'm a business owner, should have cybersecurity insurance. And so talk to your property casualty representative, if you're a business owner, because that is a risk that's been growing and growing inside the United States and outside the United States. And so when we see this happening, and every day we're hearing about companies in the United States and the concern about our grid being secure, all the things that we need as far as infrastructure being secure, it is a risk. And I don't see that that's going away. So I think that companies are spending more and more of their budgetary dollars on cybersecurity. And when we listen to earnings calls and we listen to companies, we're hearing this as well. We're hearing them talk about it. We're hearing them addressing it. And certainly this is, you know, something to consider as an investor, is looking at this and saying, are there opportunities, and are the companies that I'm investing in, are they protecting themselves?
Excellent. Thank you. Before I let you go, where do our listeners find you?
WealthWiseFinancial.com or 949-748-1177.
And I think before I have one more thing. So last week, and it seems that every week, right after we speak, something big happens. Are we expecting any big announcements? Do you have your eye on something that might happen later this week?
You know, I will tell you, it's actually a little bit lighter week as far as data coming out than we usually see.
Okay.
And, but, you know, so I don't expect certainly the same kind of thing that we saw before. But let me just see. I'm going to have to take a look. So, no, I think it's a lighter week as far as this week is concerned.
Okay. Well, that's good news for me. I always, after our conversation, I think, wow, I wish we could have hit that up.
I would just, one more thing, yeah, Ed, I would like to say, and that is that when I look at what's going on in the economy and the markets right now, it truly is more of a stock picker market. It's not an indexing market. And there are times when indexing works better and times when stock picking is better. And this right now is definitely more of a stock picker's market. So I think investors should keep that in mind.
Excellent. Laureen Gilbert, the award-winning president CEO of WealthWise Financial Services. As always, thank you so much for the conversation today, Laureen.
Have a great day.
You as well. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
8:16 the time. It's the Mornings with Ed Show.
Laureen Gilbert is a financial advisor with and securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA SIPC.